Rabbi, I hope all is good. Today's daf is Pesachim daf mem. And today's Mishnah and subsequent Gemara will talk about different things that we are not allowed to do, mostly, because they may lead to chametz. Now, admittedly, there's a lot on this Gemara about different types of grains and how they react to water in terms of their crevices, in terms of how they react to different substances, vinegar, etc. I will admit at the get-go that I do not know anything about this subject except for what the Gemara tells me. So in terms of, if you're looking for added insights, so I, you know, there are definitely other shirim out there perhaps that could explain, you know, the shape or the depiction of barley versus wheat. But I'm going to stick with the Gemara and Rashi and let's go right here. So says the Mishnah, Ein shorim es hamursan l'tanagolim. You're not allowed to soak chicken food for chickens on Pesach. Both the grain and the bran, which apparently is another part of the wheat. Again, I'm not exactly sure which part of the wheat we're talking about, but that's both of them because we're concerned it may become chametz. Aval cholten, but you're allowed to, as we've pointed out before, cholit means to scald, which means to pour boiling hot water on top of it. And that that eliminates the possibility that it may become chametz. Ha'isha lo tishra es hamursan she tolich biyada lemerchatz. A woman is not allowed to soak this chicken food, this bran that she takes with her to the bath. As the Mishnah explains, what would she do with that? So aval shafa, I'm not sure. Shafa hi bimsara yavish, but she can't rub it on her skin dry. Apparently, it's a type of I don't know about soap, but definitely a kind of skin cleanser, maybe, you know, skin remover, smoother, you know, some sort of ointment application. Okay, so she can't use that because, again, we're concerned it will become chametz. Lo yulos adam chitim v'yaneach ha-makaso mipnei shehein machmitzos. And a person similarly should not chew wheat and put it on a wound, right, on because that may come to become chametz. Again, according to the Mishnah, right, apparently saliva will make something turn into chametz. Okay. Tanu wa rabbanan, we learned in a brisa. Eilu dvarim she'in bayin l'di chimutz. These things cannot become chametz. Ha'afui, if grain or wheat is baked, and obviously we'll ask the question in a second, obviously that's not true. Ta'am v'vushal, something that's cooked, v'cholet she'chotu b'rotchin, and if it's scalded with boiling hot water. The Gemara says, v'vushal, what are you talking about? Adam b'vashal, lay mechala. The moment you cook it, well, not the moment, but the cooking is what makes it chametz. So Amar Papa said, ha'afui she'bishlu kamar. No, we're talking about if it was baked and then cooked. So that is not going to become chametz. If, again, okay, apparently if you bake, meaning once you bake the matzah, right, so then, and then you cook it, so that's not going to turn it into chametz. And sure enough, people I know, you know, for example, my mom makes matzah brei, so she pours hot water on the matzah and then fries it in the skillet. So that's baking, that's cooking, technically, you know, I guess in some form or fashion. That's cooking after baking, but that's not going to turn into chametz because, again, once you bake it, so then that and you take it out in the right time, so then it's not going to turn into chametz. Tani Rav Dabraisa, Rabbi Yosi, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Kemach Shenafal Latocho Delef. Delef is a drip, is a water drip. So if you have flour that has a drip dripping into it, so Afilu Kol Yom Kulu, even if it's dripping all day, Einu Bali Nechimotz. That's not going to turn into chametz. How does that make any sense? Amar Papa v'hud Ovid tif lahadi tif. Meaning, as long as it's continuous, it's contiguous, and it's not. There's no moment in time where the water stops dripping. So at that point, there it's always mixed. It's always moving. There's no point where the flour can sit and become chametz. Amar Debeir Rishila Vatika Shari. Okay, Ve'atane Vatika Aser. Excuse me. We have two contradicting biases in terms of vatika. Vatika, again, I don't know, is food. We'll see in a second. Food is flour that's cooked with either salt and oil or salt and water. So the Gemara says, right, one is mutter, one is usher. So lokasha, how do avdei b'mishicha b'mishcha b'milcha, or how do avdei b'mayim b'milcha, right? It depends whether you made it with oil and salt. At that point, it's not going to become chametz because that doesn't turn into chametz. But when it is going to be usher, so then that's going to be with water and salt. So that's obviously could come to be chametz. Amar Zetra, lo limchi inish kidra bekimcha davishuna. Person shouldn't use flour to thicken a dish. Dilma lo bashel shaper, because maybe what's going to happen, it's not going to cook properly. Right? We said if you cook it, then it's okay. But if you don't cook it properly, then you add the flour, so then it could turn into chametz. Amrav Yosef, Rav Yosef said lo lichlot inish trei chitay behardi adadi. A person shouldn't shouldn't scald two pieces of two grains of wheat together at the same time, because what's going to happen? Dilma azla chad of yosef mitzira dechavete. Because apparently, the two grains could like snuggle up to each other. Below solically the kula demaya arba rutcha v'asid dichimutz, and the boiling water won't touch the grains on all four sides. You need to get all four sides of the grains. So if they're connected to each other, they're attached, then you're missing the inside. And then we said that scalding it with boiling hot water is going to make it not turn into chametz. But you have to get it on all four sides. Therefore, you should do it one at a time. You should similarly not burn or singe two stalks of grain of wheat or whatever at the same time, because you can have some sort of moisture that comes out of one stalk and go into the other stalk. Back to Abaye, what are you talking about? So one by itself also. Right, maybe you'll have some liquid from the top of this wheat stalk go into the bottom of the wheat stalk. That's going to have some sort of chametz situation. So right, Rava says no. So it's mutter because it's just like apple juice. Right, there's some sort of liquid, some sort of moisture inside of the wheat stalk. So then, that doesn't cause chametz. And even Abai took it back, right? But to call agav mitlahu lo mechamsi, because as long as you have some sort of liquid over there, meaning as we said before, as long as the liquid is still going, it's not going to come into liquid. It's not going to turn into chametz, but not for the reason that Rava said that it's considered to be meperos. But right, again, when you're pouring the liquid, when you're pouring the boiling hot water on top of it, so then the water is flowing consistently and doesn't leave that moment or a few moments in between to let it turn into chametz. Dabar Rabbi, because Rabbi said, and this is how we know that this is what Rabbi holds. Hachatzba davshuna. You have a pitcher they would use to do this to grain, to do this process to grains, to burn it or singe it or whatever. You pour the grain in and then you pour the water on top of it. So the container that you use for that. So schifa shari, if it's upside down, so then you can use it for this toasting grain on Pesach. I'm not sure exactly how that would work. Maybe this fire underneath. Maybe it's not the singeing. I can take it back. Maybe it's not the singeing because that involves boiling hot water. Okay, so maybe you have the heat source underneath. But Zakifa Asr, if it's up and down, then it's Asr, because again, the liquid's going to come out of it. And Abaye still holds that the liquid of wheat is considered to be liquid and could cause chametz, right, even though Rava disagrees. That's what the Gemara says. Rava says, no, I feel this Zakifa Nabishari. It's even better to do it upright, right? Because Meperos didn't do it. Meperos in Machmitzin, right? Because the liquid that comes out of wheat is meperos, like apple juice, doesn't turn the wheat into chametz. So you see that Abaye still held that machlokas, right? But he took back his halacha because he felt by singeing, by pouring the water straight on, there's no period in time where the water and the chametz would have time to become chametz. The water and the grain would have time to become chametz. Okay, Tana Rabbanan, without the Rebbeisa, in losis in seorim bepesach. You cannot soak barley on Pesach. Then losas, but if you did, then this baku asuros, but lo baku mutaros. Then if you did soak barley, then you have to check the barley. If the barley split in the middle, so then it's asur, because the water got in and the stomach, then it'll become chametz very quickly. But if they didn't, if they remained whole, right, so then it's mutar, because the stomach then did not become chametz. Rabbi Yossi Omer, shorim b'chometz v'chometz tzomson. Right, Rabbi Yossi says you can prevent the barley from becoming chametz if you stick them in vinegar, because the vinegar will make sure it does not become chametz. Amar Shmuel ina lach Rabbi Yossi, and again Shmuel said that's not how we paskin. Sorry. Amar Rav Chista Amar Bar Ukva, lo nas bugu mamish. Rav Chista says that he doesn't. Not Rabbi Yossi, but the Tanna Kamma does not mean that it literally split. Ella, rather, kosher ilu marichan api chavis. Fein nizbakos me'aleha. right? I mean, it's if you would put them over the top of a barrel. And here the Indian is a wine barrel, as Rashi says, that the flavor or the smell from the wine, I guess not the flavor, but the, what do you call it? Not the mist. I guess the aroma, right? The wafting up from the wine is a strong one, right? And that would split it. So if they would split, if you did that, so then you can imagine that the barley will also split when it's in hot water. And Shmuel, I mean, Shmuel says no. It has to. You look afterwards and see if they actually did split. Right? That's actually mamish. What the determining factor is whether the water and the barley that was soaked in water will become chametz or not. So Amar Shmuel Uvda Madura debate Bar Chashu Nisbaku Mamish, and again that's how Shmuel paskened in the house of Bar Chashu. Okay, fine. Amar Rabba Rabba says Bal Nevesh Lo Yilsos, someone who's from should not soak grain or barley on Pesach. Again, the Gemara says it all the time. You know, someone who's a Bal Nefesh, someone who's concerned about himself being a from Jew. So I remember hearing, I think it was from Rosh Hechter in YU. I could be wrong, but I think it was Rosh Hechter that he explained once that a Bal Nefesh, it's not every well-meaning Jew. Right? You have to be Talmud Chacham. Right, so when it says Bal Nefesh, it means Rosh Hashiva, etc., etc. I mean, us laymen, us simple folk, are not necessarily Bal Nefesh. We should strive to be Bal Nefesh, but that doesn't necessarily mean we shouldn't necessarily assume that we are Bal Nefesh. On the other hand, right, if you look at Rashi, right, so he does say that what is it, Rashi over here? I can never find it with all these little. Right, Rashi says a chosin, but there's another Rashi somewhere else. Right, he says Yirei Shemaim Charin Al Nafsho. Somebody's Yirei Shemaim. So I guess I think it's bottom line, it's a mile to strive for, but it's not necessarily something that the common folk necessarily attain. Okay, either way, again, if I misquoted Rav Shechter, so then it wasn't him. but if I think that, I think that's what he said. All right, either way, my Yirei Bal Nefesh. So Gemara says, one second. So again, the implication is that it's mutter, right? If a Bal Nefesh shouldn't do it, someone who's, you know, very conscious of being a Yirei Shemayim, he shouldn't do it, okay, fine. But that implies that, the bottom line, it's mutter. So that's why the Gemara asks, my Yirei Bal Nefesh, right? Why would it be only the Firma Yidden, as they say, why should they be the ones who don't do this? Everybody should refrain from soaking barley. We just talked about it. You shouldn't soak barley on Pesach. So I'm going to cover this one. Rabbi meant, Bal Nefesh afilu chiten deshrire lo yilsos. You shouldn't even soak wheat. Wheat apparently becomes chametz less quickly than barley. So even wheat, a Bal Nefesh should not soak. Amar le Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman said, no. Ma detzais leid la'aba achonela de ipusha. But he said that anybody who listens to what my father said, it wasn't literally his father, but it's like an expression of kavod. But anybody who listens to what Rabbi says is going to eat lousy bread, because apparently that was part of the bread making process. They would soak the barley or the wheat, right, to make sure everything, right, the husks fall off, etc., etc., and you get clean grains. So apparently, if a person doesn't do this, you can end up with lousy bread. Da be Rav Huna lasasi, ube Rav Rabbi Bar Avin lasasi. And Varava Amar Asher Lissos. Right, so you see different practices. Rav Huda would do this, and Rav Amar Avin would do this, and Rava would not. Okay. As the Gemara says, Ah, Yalla Haditanya, but we lived in a Braisa, according to Rava, nobody should do this, right? If you look at Rashi, Rava Amar Asher Lissos, the Kli Alma. Meaning, there are three opinions here. That Rava said someone who's from shouldn't soak wheat grains. Rav Huda and Rav Bar Avin said it's totally mutter, and Rava said it's totally usser for anybody. So the Gemara says, one second, Elah Haditanya, but the Brisa says, Ein losin sorbim pesach, sorbim dulo, right, hachiti shari. But one second, we still have the implication from the Brisa that says that wheat is mutter. So how can you tell me that nobody should soak wheat? So the Gemara says, according to Rava, according to that understanding, lo mi baya kamar. Now that Brisa is saying that you don't even need to tell me. Right, lo mi baya chitin. You don't even need to tell me that you can't soak wheat on Pesach, right? Because came into East Beit Syria, since there is they're shaped in a way where there's a not a hole, but like a not a dent. What's the word? There's a a bend in the middle of them, so Eile Brumaya, water can go in there. Meaning grains, which are round and smooth and don't have that, same as Shabadami, you might have thought it'd be mutter, because the water doesn't go in there so easily, so then Kamash Malan, so therefore he says, the Brisa says that it's Aser. But really, it means both of them. And really, Hadar Amar Rava, then Rava took back what he said. And he said that really, mutter lo sos, really, it's allowed, you're allowed to soak wheat on Pesach, to tell you, like, when the Brisa yotzin bepas nekia, you could be yotzin in the midst of matzah with clean, beautiful, nice bread, vaj, meaning obviously matzah, right, vajra, and with lousy bread, and you can't get this nice, clean, fancy bread without soaking the wheat before. So that it must be that it's mutter to do so on Pesach. So Esver, the Rava, Rava said against Rava 1 second, HaKamachim HaSaltos Shal Nachar. If you have flowers, and Soles is really nice flour, so Kelach is flour, and Soles is really fine flour, that's the type of flour that's brought in the Beis HaMikdash. Soles, B'lav HaShem, you guys know the laning. Anyway, so the different types of flour of the Goyim, Shal Kfarim Tahorim, if in the ones that are made in villages are Tahor, because they're not going to soak their grain in water, so therefore it's not Mekabel Tumah, right? So Hukshah Mekabel Tumah hasn't come in contact with liquid. But Shakrachim Tumah, but in the cities, they're Tumah, because they soak their liquid. They soak their barley, and it's Hukshah Mekabel Tumah. The Kfarim by time, but what's the reason why they're not Tumah in the villages, right? La Mishnah Lelasli, right? Apparently, you see that they don't soak their grain. Fakankari, they soles, but what do we say in the Mishnah, right? We called it Soles, the really fine flour. So apparently, we see that soles can be made without soaking. So apparently, the Rava didn't need to take back his shita. So I said, it's talking about kimcha. No, so you just explained that the halacha about the villages is only going on kimach and not on soles, right? It doesn't necessarily mean that it's going on both of them. Basra Dinavik, after Rava left, Amar, Rav Papa, right? Rav Papa said, my time Allah imala ima meha. Why didn't I respond to him with the following? Meaning I could have gotten back at him. He wanted to bring a proof from that, but I could have said to him, right, the grains for a korban mincha, right, what did I say? At the beginning of the lining, soles, b'lav Hashem, etc., etc. The korban mincha, right, it has to be brought with fine flour, but we see the brisa that you're not allowed to soak them, so apparently you can get fine flour without soaking. And therefore, Rava went back and said, not only is it mutter losos, then he said mitzvah losos. It's a mitzvah to prep the grains by soaking them. Shenemar, as Pasuk says, u'shmartem es ha-matzos, because you need to guard the matzos. Eloi de b'lisisa, right, shimur lamai. What kind of watching is there if you don't need to watch it when you're soaking it? An issue with the lisha, if you tell me you have to make sure it doesn't become chametz when you're kneading it, K-N-E-A-D. So Shimur Delisha Lav Shimur. That's not considered watching. That's not considered making sure it doesn't become chametz. Damar Avuna, because Avuna said, B'tzikas Shal Nachrim, again, the dough of Goyim, right? Adam Mamalik Kreso Mehem, Uvavad Shayochel, because that's matzah b'achrona. You can eat as much as you want on Leil Seder, as long as you eat matzah afterwards, meaning you're not yotzei the mitzvah. Right? B'achrona in, you can eat it, the end of it. The afikomen you can eat, but barishon alone. But the initial mitzvah matzah, you can't be yotzei with dough of matzah made from dough of a goy, right? Even though it's not chametz. It's my time, but what's the reason? Mishnah Dulo Avim Shimur, because it was missing this shimur, this watching, right? Yeah, and that's an important part of the matzah. Ushmartem es matzos. So he said, what do you mean? Why wasn't it watched over? Why don't you tell me that you make sure it doesn't become chametz for after it was baked, right? Alav must be. What do you see? Shema, you see from this, Shema be karabing on. You need to have watching over the matzah, so you have to guard the matzah from becoming chametz from the beginning, before the kneading, before the baking. So the Gemara says, now that's not a good proof, because we might. Where'd you get that from? Meaning, how do you know that just because you can't have shmira by matzah of a guy, right, that was necessarily before the kneading process? Like, that's a very arbitrary spot to draw the line. Dilma Shani also, maybe it's different, but to be in the Nach is the Shimur, because the point when you had to start watching it, Lo Avim B'Shimur, right? He hadn't started watching it. Meaning, yes, the Goy's matzah and the Goy's dough has not been watched, But that doesn't say anything about when the watching requirement starts. It could be any time in the matzah-making timeline, and it'd just be the guy who didn't watch it, because what does he know? He doesn't know to watch matzah. So that doesn't tell me anything about whether, you know, if you can't do shmira on the dough, etc., it doesn't tell me anything about when shmira starts. Right, as the Gemara finishes, right? It could be that when you watch it from the kneading process, that is considered shmira. So filhachi lo hadar bei Rava. But even with that point, Rava still didn't take back what he said. Right, again, before he did, now he didn't. Because he said to one of the people who were scooping up the wheat in the field, so when you turn over, with a pitchfork, right? When you, I don't know what the verb is, but when you gather the wheat with your pitchfork and you kind of la focus to turn it over, I guess, I'm not sure what that process is. But when you turn it over, meaning when you gather it, when you reap it, and you pile it into bundles, to do it for the mitzvah. So apparently you see that according to Rava, the grain needs to be washed. You have to do shmira on the matzos from even the beginning, even when you're reaping it in the field. Mar Brei Ravina, Minaktalei Ima Da'armi, just to finish off, right? So his mother would store stuff for him, grains for him in different boxes. Rashi says, Chitin Mitchilas Ktzir Letzorach HaPesach, right? Even from the beginning of the harvest, that's his mother would store in different boxes specifically for Pesach. So again, you see that the Shmira has to start at the beginning. Okay, two dots. Hahu Arba Dechiti. Now, there was a ship that was filled with grain. The Tama Bechishta, right, that sank in the Chishta. Chishta, Rashi says, is Shem Nahar, is the name of a river. Right, apparently, Rashi says it sank before Pesach and it had grains inside. So what happened? So Sharia Rava Lizwini Lanachrim. Rava said you're allowed to sell it to Goyim because it was about to be chametz. So then therefore sell to Goyim and not to Jews. So Esvei Rava Bar Livoy LaRava. So he asked the question on this. Begin Shavu Bokilayim. If you have a piece of clothing, right, and you knew there was kilayim there, but you don't know where it is. Right, meaning, you know, usually you buy a fancy suit, you send it to the kilayim people, and they check it, and okay. But if you lose some kilayim in a baguette, so what do you do with that? So raise lo yom kareil l'nachri. You're not allowed to sell it to a goy, v'lo yasebo ma'adars l'chamor. You can't make it as a saddle, not as a saddle, as a cloth to go under the saddle for a donkey. Right? We had that in the Seder Shabbos. Ava osin oso tachrichin l'meis, but you can use it as tachrichin, because the whole concern is that the guy may then flip it back and sell it to a Jew. Well, so therefore we're concerned, but even regardless of what you use it as, and regardless of what you make it into, we're concerned the guy may flip it back, right? By tachrichin, by burial shrouds, okay, so then that guy, obviously that person is not chayiv in kilayim anymore, so that's moter. But, so why aren't we concerned here that if you sell this grain that was in the river to the goyim, maybe they'll flip it back to the Jews. So, as the Gemara says, in the Nachri, my time alone, why can't you sell to the goyim? Lav mishum the other mizav in Israel. Isn't that because he's going to resell to a Jew? So now, Rava said, you're right. In a chenavi, I took it back. There's binu kama kama li Israel keichi dekalia kame pesach. So sell it a little bit at a time to a Jew to make sure that it'll be eaten before Pesach. Right? Again, if you only buy, you know, half a loaf of bread, so mistalo, somebody's going to eat it before Pesach starts. You can't add flour to a pot on Pesach. And if the person wants to do that, obviously the concern, we don't want to become chametz. So then, what's the way to do it? So you put in flour, and then put in vinegar. And that, again, as we saw before, there could be some say that vinegar will help stop the fermentation, the becoming of chametz. It's yesho. Some people say afnosin is a chametz, ve'achach nosin is a kamach. So some people say the reverse. You can even put vinegar and then flour. Man yesho. Who is that? Who says that? So Rabbi Yehuda. It's Rabbi Yehuda Shita, who says that you can put the vinegar and then the flour. It's not about the Mishnah Shabbos. Ha'ilfas v'kederusha eviron berutachin. If you have a frying pan or some sort of pot that's taken off the fire but it's still boiling. So lo yitin asok a tavlin, you can't put spices in there, That's still a kli rishon. You'll end up cooking the spices that we aser. Avodos and tzorcha kedera, but you can put it into a bowl or a pot, or into something else. A tamkoi is like a meaning a secondary kli, and that's going to be motor. Rabbi Yehuda Omer lakol who knows saying chutz midavar sheish bo chometz v'tzir. Rabbi Yehuda says no, you can add the spices to anything except for a dish that has tzir is fish brine and chometz obviously is vinegar. So Rabbi Yehuda is the one who says that vinegar will make it cook faster, will accelerate the cooking. So to over here, you see that the vinegar right, kind of accelerates the cooking. And again, if once it cooks past a certain amount, then adding flour is inconsequential because then it will no longer become chametz. Right? If you cook a dish, once it reaches the fully cooked stage, from what I understand, adding flour afterwards will not turn into chametz. So Kamei says, Vinokma Karabi Yossi. Okay, that's a nice shita, but why don't you say that the Yesh Omrim is the Rabbi Yossi? Right, instead of Rabbi Yehuda, the Tanya, because we learned the Brisa, Rabbi Yossi, Omer Shor Bechometz, right? Bechometz Tzomchan. Right, again, that's what we quoted earlier in today's daf. Rabbi Yossi says that if you have, right, again, what's the case over there? That you had barley in water, so what do? You put some vinegar in, and that'll stop the Chometz process. So why don't we say that this is very clearly, right? It seems to be Rabbi Yossi Shita. So when it says Yeshmina, then the Rabbi Yossi, if we would have said this price is Rabbi Yossi, honey mili the isi be'ene. That's only if the vinegar is straight up, meaning when you pour vinegar straight into barley, so then that's going to help it not become chametz. Avayide tarovas lo. But what's the case here? It's a dish. It's a mixture. So when you pour the vinegar and it's mixing with all the other items you have in the pot, so that's not going to, that according to Rabbi Yossi, that's not going to stop the chametz process. Ula Amar, Ula says, Echazel, Echazel, Aser, meaning regardless whether you put in the vinegar first or afterwards, so you still cannot put flour into a dish on Pesach that's cooking, right? Again, Bishom, because the phrase goes, Lech Lech Amina Nizira, Schor Schor, the Karma, Lo Tikrav, right? Go, you tell a Nazir, go away from a vineyard, don't even come close, meaning, what are you doing? Like, why are you playing with fire? Right? That's in the vernacular. Okay. Rav Papi Sharle, Le Bordike, Debate Reish Galusa, Le Mimcha, Kedere, Bechasise. Rav Papi would allow the people who were cooking, they're baking in the Reish Galusa's house, to put flour into a pot of grain. And Rav said to him, what are you talking about? What are you doing? Ika Deshari, Hai Milsa, someone makes that mutter? So is there anybody who says that's mutter? Beduchta Deshkiche Ade, in a place where you have Avadim, where you have servants, Mistamba, they have a Kanani, even in every Ivri. It's not going to be so familiar with the Halachos, right? He's not going to be careful about it becoming Chametz. How in the world could you allow that, Rav Papi? Or people say that no, that not did Rava object, but Rava Gufa, he himself actually would do this, and he would do it himself. And apparently there was, meaning according to this understanding, there's no issue, and there's no issue that it may become chametz whatsoever, and therefore Rava would do it himself. Okay, fine. We'll stop here by the Mishnah. Have a great day or night, depending on where you're listening to this.